Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Tender Loving Care. Every week, Kate and I break down a show from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believe the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. In this very special episode, we have a guest. I think all of you know, so please welcome to the pod, the self-described sit-down comedian, known on Instagram as It's PCAV, Priscilla Kavanagh. Hello!
Hi, thank you for having me.
So excited. Guys, what we have in store for you is a ride back in the greatest time in history, one of the greatest points of history, and that's the early to mid-2000s.
Yeah, God help us.
It's so beautiful. So, Priscilla, thank you so much for coming on the pod. I mean, I'm so excited to chat with you about a lot. I obviously want to talk about your Instagram account and like why so many people are obsessed with it. I love, you know, when we're looking for guests, I want someone that really, really appreciates. If we're talking about housewives, I want someone that gets equally as angry as I do, the way Bethany closes her eyes when she eats. I want someone that understands the a chunky necklace, and you've really outdone yourself today.
Well, if we're gonna do the 2000s, I have to bring a bump. Business casual and a statement necklace, and don't forget our mesh.
Oh, look at them.
Okay, mesh ballet slippers, all bedazzled and a terrible color.
Where were they worn? I mean, they were certainly not suitable to be worn in England when I was growing up, because your feet would have just had trench foot by the end of it.
Probably the club. I don't know. I mean, they are so not hygienic.
Oh.
But well, I saw that mesh ballet flats are coming back, and I was upset.
See, that's something I wondered about today, because we're going to get into the fashion of the show that we covered. But you know, we had said to each other, okay, let's dress, you know, take this opportunity, right, to get back into the fashion. So you brought your business cash, which is such, when you look back at those photos, a bizarre era of going out to clubs like you were going to a business meeting. It was a very confusing time. I decided to go more on the side of, like, I'm so inspired by the show that, you know, we're going to cover. I wanted to go with, you know, kind of the messy hair, you know. I mean, I'm approaching 40 and I still don't really ever brush my hair. But, you know, I got the messy pony, the fake glasses that I mean, I'm having a very hard time reading my notes through them at the moment, but I'm going to keep them on.
You gotta commit to the bit.
Then I thought about, like, well, do I want some like neon? Because I was thinking, what do I wear? So I'm going through my wardrobe this morning, being like, should have prepared last night, should have, but you know, I was at a party last night. So I was at a puppy shower last night, actually, which was interesting. But anyway, so I'm going through my wardrobe and I'm like, got to find something. So I've had some neon. And I was like, all right, so that's kind of neat. Like, that would work. Spaghetti straps. And then you show your bra through it, tried it all on. And I was like, I'm actually going to go with a little, in England, we call them waistcoats, but, you know, vest.
Vest, yeah.
Just like a little vest over just like, you know, like a band tee. You know, like a band tee.
Obviously. I'm actually, you can't see, but I'm wearing 7 tank tops.
Lovely.
We just layered them on.
We layered them on. Oh, it's so beautiful. But we wanted to get in theme, guys, because we were chatting about what we wanted. When I reached out to Priscilla, I was like, you know, I want to do like some kind of iconic show of that era. And we threw around a couple of ideas. There were some that I really hope you and I can revisit. But the one that we landed on, and I think it resonated with you because your email came back with a lot of exclamation marks, was the Ashley Simpson show.
Oh, what a moment.
I need to know. I mean, your excitement was palpable through the email.
I wanted to go back. I guess I just really hadn't thought about that show in a long time.
Why not? That's a question.
I don't know, but it was such a pure rewatch. Like, what a show. At the same time, like, nothing happens.
Nothing.
Per episode. Really? Mm. And it was so interesting to watch it through I like to call myself a Bravo aficionado. I'm into all the Housewives.
Absolutely.
And like, where we are now, and then to go back almost 20 years and watch the stakes are so low. You know, like, it's both probably very produced and not produced at all. It's just so pure.
Yeah, that word you used in a DM to me, and I was like, you're right. That's a really good way to explain it, because we were at this point in time in pop culture. You know, it was the time of the Osbournes. You know, all of this was coming out, and it was fascinating to watch. I remember watching them being in England, being like, oh my God, that's what LA's like. And they're going to trashy lingerie and like La Cienega, and they're going to, you know, whiskey, and they're going to the Knitting Factory, where I ended up having some interesting nights at when I moved to America. And I was like, I remember all of this. And like, watching it was this idea of like coming to LA and you just kind of make it, because Ash is a lot of help. But it was that time of, it was such a great time in reality television. It really was. You've got, so what else have we got at the time? We got Ashley with the Osbournes that really started everything. Obviously, Jessica Simpson and Nick. Jess, what was that called? Newlyweds, right?
Newlyweds, yes.
Yeah. I mean, what else did we have that was really iconic around then that I started? I love the Anna Nicole show. That's going back.
Yes.
Anna.
One that maybe we should revisit is To America, Victoria Beckham.
I've never watched that.
It is perfect television.
Oh.
She is hilarious.
Mm.
Just naturally. If you watch the Beckham documentary, the one that was recent, she's just funny.
I find that really interesting because, you know, being in England, growing up, like 1997, the Spice Girls were everything. Mm-hmm. We were all so involved in their lives. With her, I didn't watch a Beckham documentary. I think it's because I was so overexposed with Beckham and the Spice Girls growing up. And I loved the Spice Girls. Trust me, I was singing all their songs, doing all the dances, doing it all. But Beckham, yeah, I never watched it, but that's a good one. I don't even know that reality show. Wow. Okay.
We only got one season, and
great.
We do so much more. Oh my God.
Wow, that is a good one. I mean, I'm not huge, like, even now, obviously, like, Bravo aficionado. We are twin flames on that. I mean, I will talk from everything from the Brooklyn Bridge. Let's go into Ramona throwing glasses at Kristen. Like, I will go into everything. Roni is God in this house. Okay. I love all my housewives, but I'm not into reality shows. Like, I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch any of that. But back then, everything was so sparkly and new. Rock of Love. Watched.
I have entire relationships, like friendships that were formed around Rock of Love. Flavor of Love also. Joe Millionaire?
Oh, hang on. I know the name, but I don't think. What was Joe? Was it a secret millionaire? No, I don't know that one.
No, it was the opposite.
Oh.
It was kind of like The Bachelor, it was a gaggle of ladies pursuing this one guy who was gorgeous. Mm. They made it sound like they told him he was a millionaire.
Stop.
Only to reveal at the end that he's a construction worker. They could only do one season of it, I think, because.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A lie. Oh. That was pre-Bachelor Bachelor days.
Wow. It was really the glorious. I mean, I was obsessed with the Osbournes. I really was obsessed with the Osbournes. It was just this, they paved the way for so much. And really, like, you look at, I mean, Ozzy Osbourne was obviously, and is a massive, massive star. So he commanded, I'm sure, huge for that show. But like this Ashley Simpson show, budget, $2. $2 for the whole season. It's brilliant. Oh my God, I have so much more to talk to you about. But guys, we unfortunately can't make this like an 18-hour show, but we need to get into Ashley Simpson. So I want to know, did you watch this when it aired? Because there's two seasons that we found. Some, by the way, whoever put this on YouTube, God bless you. Because it's all on YouTube, guys. You can watch season one and season two. Season one was 2004. So did you watch it when it aired?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I had definitely seen it before. So it around that time, if not live, yes.
Yeah. I think I came to America. I don't know. Maybe some of our English listeners can say, but I don't think this ever came to England. I really don't think it did, because I certainly didn't watch it there. I remember watching it here kind of years later, when I was really understanding this great country and the television that it produces. And I was enthralled. And you know what, by the way, her songs are amazing.
They are good.
They are so
they are very good.
I love them. So the first, they've got 2004, 2005, and this is all about, like, this whole premise of this reality show is that Ashley, she's not like her sister, man. She's rock and roll. She's super cool. She's not all, like, you know, produced at all. Yeah, right. She's just like the rebel. So it starts off, this is super bizarro. It starts off with her in this apartment, which I recognize, she was living in the La Brea apartments, but she's, you know, she's just so messy all the time. And she's this whole tomboy, like, I forgot deodorant. You know, it's that
oversharing on purpose. Yeah.
And the first episode, we see her, you know, moving into an apartment or she's like 19 in this first season, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And she's moving into this apartment. She's got this
boyfriend.
She's got this boyfriend. Please talk to me about the boyfriend.
Well, I can't decide. Was he like living off of her?
I met him. Where is it? I've got it right here. I met him the second day he landed in LA from Oklahoma. I wish I'd bloody met someone famous and I was on a reality show the second day I came in from England. God. Mm-hmm.
And like all these little pop starlets were living in the same apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
Like her friends were, it was like a dorm basically. Like her friends were downstairs. Ryan Cabrera's down the hall.
Right.
Somebody else I'd never heard of, but was, I don't know. They were like, just this like, maybe it was like TikTok houses now.
Well, what this place is where they lived is because I live in LA and I have these TikTokers that live like right next to me in these townhouses. Of course, they they demolished a beautiful 1920s Spanish adobe house and built fucking townhouses that have, they go for like maybe $8,000 to $9,000 a month. And everyone, or like 21, or like 21, never see the older brand new Teslas. And I just see them sometimes in their courtyard. And they're just doing a couple of videos, waking up at noon. I mean, it's a great life. But I don't think that was that necessarily. The apartment buildings that they lived in, it's a place called Park La Brea in LA. And it's just sprawling. It's like massive. And it's kind of a place that you would live at that time of if you had a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool to live in because it's like a community. But it's... Similar. But did you do any research or figure out this guy, Josh, her boyfriend? Do you know who he is?
No, tell me.
So we see these first scenes and she's just like, you know, I don't know how to do laundry. And she's like running around the place and her mum's helping her pick up stuff. And then she's just like the way she is with boyfriends, lying over him and just like, I love you. And let's just lie here and get married. And he's one foot out the door.
Uh-huh. He's like biding his time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he did well because he met her, like I say, 2 days after he came to LA from Oklahoma. And his name's Josh Henderson. He ended up with quite a good acting career. He went into Desperate Housewives and he's still doing stuff now. He's like a series regular on some big show.
Oh, good for him.
Exactly. So Priscilla, talk to me about like these first few episodes when we're getting introduced to Ashley and what her chaotic life is like.
It's so chaotic. It's like nothing happens. Mm. I hate to be a broken record, but it's so pure. She's like, oh, I'm going to go in the studio today. I need to mop my floor. Oh, I need a girls' night. Huh? Josh and I broke up. Like it's and then like all of a sudden they're broken up and she's like, I'm sad. And then she's not like, it's over.
It's just done.
Not sad anymore. Like I'm wondering about what the overlap was with Ryan Cabrera.
I mean, you know, when you have a man in front of you that has a hairstyle like that, it's hard to resist, it's hard to resist. I mean, you see her, you know, it's about her getting this, you know, pop career going. So she signs with Geffen Records, right? And that was a sight to see. I mean, and she's late. That was another running thing. She's constantly. So rude to me. Like punctuality, you know, I'm very Bethany Frankel on that. Very Bethany Frankel. Like, you know, 10 minutes early, you're on. That's you're on time.
No, when you're going to sign your record deal.
Set your alarm.
I want to make it on time. Yeah.
So she goes in and we see like the mother. I mean, we'll get to the father, but we see the mother and they're all constantly around her. So she's going to sign this record deal. And of course I started reading all the YouTube comments like underneath it all, which are brilliant, by the way. That's a show in itself. But she's obviously getting everything handed to her because of who her sister is. But the whole show is her saying, I'm not getting everything handed to me and I'm different to Jessica. So they're like, yeah, we're going to go like, you're so much different. Every scene is like, you're so different to your sister. Let's not mention the sister, but God, you're so different to your sister. So she signs this record deal and it's all about her getting in the studio, right? Getting with the writers, getting with the band, all of which costs millions of dollars. Yeah. And she's like, I'm working so hard to do all of this, just starting on my own. I'm just doing this on my own. And these comments in the YouTube are all like, on YouTube are like, this bitch was handed everything. She's not.
Yeah. And okay. So yeah, not handed everything. The first time she performs on stage ever is like the season finale. You have not, and I was shocked. You have never performed in public. You're signing your record deal.
I didn't. That's a really, really good point. I couldn't get my eyeballs or my anything to understand what was going on because you're right that it ends with that. And she's signing this record label and she can sing. Yeah. She can sing.
And I like her ideas.
Yes. Like, I love her ideas.
Like, I think part of this too is like, why this show is so important to me is because I'm a middle, like I'm a young sister too. And it's like, oh, I also needed to break out of my sister's shit. Even though I didn't. But like,
yeah, sure.
But like, you know, it was kind of an underdog story. Even though she does get everything handed to her. Like Jessica was like a massive star.
Oh, she was, I mean, if you can't understand like how huge she was. I mean, massive, just massive. And you're right. And it was, you're like, oh, good for you, because she is going completely different with her music and her right. You know, the scenes that were a little bit hard to watch were when she was, you know, in her writing sessions. And because she's so kooky crazy, you know, she's kind of got her hair messy, and then she's wearing her scarf, a thin scarf all the time, no shoes on. And she's like standing on top of sofas being like, I don't know, maybe we could put like "And I Love You" in that. Yeah, let's play that back. And you see these long-suffering songwriters and guitarists that have well-established careers. And you know, they were like, listen, Geffen Records was like, listen, it's an easy buck. Just go and write some songs with her. You'll be out in and out in 6 months. And then they're like, oh, by the way, there's a reality show that's going to be there as well. And you just see them. And she's constantly driving around to LA in her convertible with her little flip phone.
Yeah.
I loved going, yeah, I don't know where I'm going. And she's just up in the hills being like, oh, I'm lost. Walking into writing sessions with these very important musicians for her career. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm an hour and a half late. I got lost.
They're like, it's okay, we got paid. It was $30,000. That hour was $30,000 of your dad's money.
And you know what I loved as well? Did you notice? I mean, I'm sure you did. It's a nuanced thing. It's the flip phone, right? Yeah. The thin scarves. And then one thing that really made my heart jump for joy, printed out MapQuest.
Oh, my God. Yes. How we didn't, like, crash trying to...
It's bizarre. I mean, I really have my sense of direction is so poor. I have no idea where to get anywhere without my GPS. It's shameful.
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably Gen X on, we're like pretty useless as humans. Mm. Like if we were just dropped into nature, we would probably die within 72 hours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I need, you know, I need my Bravo and I need a nice coffee. That's just how I go. That's it. So what else goes on this first season? Because I kind of do want to, for anybody that has watched it and they're listening and they want us to like tear apart, I'm trying to think what else happens. So we see her going to do all these writing sessions. She breaks up with Josh after they go on a beautiful bowling date, which I have a theory about this because I've watched this a couple of times. She's 19 in this show and we see her and she does, you know, have this like quirky and crazy and dancing and did it all the time. And then I slowly realized, oh, she's like drunk in a lot of this. Did you get that? I do. There were some scenes and I realized, well, they couldn't show it because she obviously is underage. But she's like at this bowling date with the songwriters came with her.
All her guy friends, because she's a guy's girl, but also a girl's girl.
So easy. She's so cool. So cool.
So cool and quirky.
I do actually think those songwriters got dragged along. She's like, I do. I think it was her, Josh, straight out of Oklahoma, and then those two guitarists that are like getting into their mid-30s. I think they came on the bowling date as well, which is like, it's just me and my band, and we're writing songs, and they come up to her, and they're like, hi, can we talk about our next session? And she's like, where's Josh? All the time. I think she was drunk. I think she was drunk, and I only get it now watching it back. That they kind of had to hide that a bit, but I think she was just an observation. And then it's about her. So she breaks up with him. She's heartbroken. For a hot minute. Then Priscilla, she meets. Well, we get introduced to Ryan Cabrera. Now
Ryan the Hair Cabrera.
Please tell me your thoughts on him, and do you have any recollection of any of his music?
Oh yeah, but really sort of. Within her world too, because they were like in each other's videos and it was kind of like this sweet little thing. We were kind of following along a bit.
Mm.
So yes, aware
okay.
of him.
Okay. And then in this, they're friends, right, at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just friends. Then she says, you know, I try to do her voice because I love my impressions. As do you. I love doing my impressions. But so she's, you know, and I have singing impressions. I mean, I love her. But she talks about how I'm going to, he's asked me to be part of his music video. And so we see her do this music video. And she's like, oh, I'm going to kind of, she goes up to the producer. And she's like, I want to kind of like, you know, like surprise him. And I'm going to just start making out with him. I was like, what?
Yeah, she assaults him.
She actually assaults Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah. But it's like,
but isn't that quirky early 2000s way?
She's like, I'm going to make him make out with me. And they're all like, okay.
I know. It's like you're constantly like, I just feel like everyone on set was like, oh God. You know, every time she did, because the energy is at a 15 at all times with her. Yes. It's like, let me do a cartwheel. Woo, I'm so crazy. You know, it's just shut up. I just feel like everyone on set was like, shut up. So she goes and makes out with them. And she's like, it's so weird.
Oh my repeatedly. God. Repeatedly. I mean, but also, and I don't know, because like, it's also very sweet. Like she and like kind of baller. She's like, I got this crush on him. I'm gonna force myself on him. And then they're dating.
And then, I mean, she did it. So then she's like, he went from my like I only looked at him as a brother, but now I think there's something more. So then instantly they're dating. So they're hugging in the corner and they're kissing. And she is, I mean, every stereotype of like a very young teenage girl obsessed with their boyfriend.
Yeah.
She is just constantly physically crawling over it's these men.
An amoeba. Like, yes. Right. She's just like, I don't know, plankton on a whale. She's just glued to him. And there's the Valentine's Day episode where it starts with them all like intertwined on the couch and there's a friend there and the secondhand embarrassment, like to be that friend.
Don't.
I would just leave.
I know. I mean, we can get into the friends, especially in season two. They're a bloody disaster. It's just these girls that I don't think, it's unclear if any of them had any jobs. Highly doubt it. And they're just following Ashley Simpson around. And the conversation. Now, listen, I'm not saying that at 19 years old, I was, you know, quoting Chaucer to my friends while we were drinking. But I will say that the conversation between, oh, wow, like pancake. Oh, it's really big. I love pancakes. Do you like it with, I love it with syrup. Wow, this butter. You know, crispy, but you're just, it is mind numbing. It is
naming breakfast foods.
Oh God. So the Valentine's though, Priscilla, there was a little bit of upset with Ashley on Valentine's.
That was the highest drama of the season, honestly. Mm. And again, such low stakes.
Yes. Sure.
You didn't get me a card or a flower, anything. It's the worst Valentine's Day ever. And it's like a third of the show is her walking around Ryan's show telling different people that he didn't get her anything for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people are like, Ashley, shut up. And she's like, no, he really didn't. And then they're like, wait, what? Mm. Like people are like, and like, you would think it was the end of the world. Yeah. And then at the end, we find out he did get her stuff. He just gave it to her at the end of the day when the cameras weren't on.
Yeah, exactly. When the cameras weren't on. And there's this whole scene. And I would say it takes up like a good amount of maybe 15 minutes of the episode because he's playing this Valentine's gig. So as you say, she's going around and she was drinking in that and they keep hiding it. I don't know if you see, I was like obsessed with watching her drink. And they like, they hide, the camera kind of goes off her. But anyway, so you're right. She's distraught.
But she's like, going very around. Very bratty too. Like it was a side of her that I don't know if it was on purpose or what, but like we didn't see much of it because there was like a little bit of entitlement that I think she was very careful about just being the sweet and quirky. But episode, it was like, it was very,
they were showing it.
Yeah.
And so everyone's sick and tired of her, right? Like, yeah, oh, gig's finished. All right, bye. Then there's this scene that I swear was like 15 minutes, and it's her in the lift, in the elevator, with Brian Cabrera just going up and down floors in the parking lot because they couldn't find his car.
Can't find his car. Yeah, and just again, that was one of the things that, like, looking at through the lens of like where we are now in reality television, they spent a third of the show on that, where nothing is really happening. Parking attendant or something comes and helps them.
Yes,
like absolutely nothing is moving forward here.
What are
we meant to take from that? Stars, they're just like us.
They don't have
anything else to fill the time with. Like, there's just no conflict.
Nothing. And then they kind of get into, and that was, you know, it's kind of depressing always when you see a band after, like, someone like, especially someone like Ryan Cabrera. I think he played the Knitting Factory where she plays at the end. And it used to be, it's gone now. All these great Hollywood iconic places are all gone, but it was right on Hollywood Boulevard, and it was near the Dolby Theatre. It's all like now, like, this is where they have the Oscars now, and it's kind of, it was like next to it, it was behind, and the parking lots were insane. You really could never find your car there. But you know, it's hard to watch him when he's packed everything up and he's literally kind of carrying his own gear back from his gig.
It's early days.
His car.
Sure. Yeah. And you can tell it was like probably a matinee time, like definitely not a Friday at 8.
It was hard. It was a Wednesday. I got Wednesday vibes. I got a Wednesday vibe from
it. It was definitely a weeknight.
Yeah. And he gets in the car or this like old McDonald's box. I may have made that up. But, you know, that was the vibe that I was feeling. Yeah. But she's just completely enamored by him. In love to the hilt with him.
Also mad because she didn't get a card or anything. But then he did get her a card, but he gave it to her like 4 days ago. Like, how dare? How dare?
It's all so confusing. So her and Ryan are going strong. Having said that, they're going strong. And we're really getting into, you know, it's her. She's under so much pressure. Like, she's under so much pressure and so much stress because she's got her first live performance coming up.
And again, signing a record deal. She signs a record deal before any music or lyrics are. It's like everything in reverse. She has to prove that she deserves it. Like, what? God.
And by the way, it's Geffen Records. They were like the bit, it's so unclear. So then she goes, so we're seeing a lot of her going in to record, to write. You know, we're having drama when she's going in to record some of her songs because they take what they've recorded so far to the record boss, to the bosses, and they're like, we don't like it. And she gets a call on her Motorola flip phone, and it's, you know, I think it's Daddy, Papa Joe, and they're like, you know, they don't like this. They don't like this.
She doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care. She's been real.
No, she's going to be who she is.
She can't change it. I'm not Jessica. Remember, everyone, I'm not Jessica.
Which, all of a sudden, she's after... Oh, another high stakes photo shoot. And then, like, thank God this one photo shoot is over so I can dye my hair brown.
That was beautiful. And can I just say, I did the exact same thing. I remember I went through an interesting stage, just dyed my hair, you know, really dark brown. And it was so edgy. And I had my black eyeliner and I had my messy hair. And so I got it. I got the freedom she felt. And she does. She goes and you're right. She's like, I wouldn't stand apart even more. So I did something crazy. And then you see her, she's got a jet black hair. And then her and the miserable, you know, now definitely on antidepressants band and songwriters are hanging around. They kind of, after a lot of sessions, they get cut some of her iconic songs down. The On a Monday, na, 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 that's like whatever that was. I should know. What's that? Waiting.
Pieces of Me.
Thank you. Pieces of Me, of course. I'm so sorry, guys. Iconic song. Love it.
It is iconic. And so is Shadow. Like, they're great songs.
Hello, 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 B-E. Like, these were good. I'm telling you, they were brilliant songs. I love them.
I don't like to say the word artist, but we'll use it. Underrated. She's underrated.
Underrated.
She is. Good pop, rock,
perfect
music. Yeah,
it was perfect. So she goes, but she gets this, and this is really good. And then we see her rehearsing for her first live show at the Knitting Factory. There is one scene. There's so many scenes, but there's two I want to point out that I don't know if you saw this. They're recording, right? And they bring in a full-on orchestra,
yeah,
which would have cost, I can't even imagine the time in the studio, this full-on orchestra. And they get her watching it in the booth. And she's like saying, oh, what to her? One of these friends is there again. And she goes, so, what are you going to wear tonight? I was thinking maybe like jeans, like, and this orchestra of these classically trained musicians are recording for the Ashley Simpson debut album. And she's in that fucking booth talking about whether she's going to wear jeans or a skirt tonight. It was awful. It was awful.
Spoiler alert, it was a 2000, so she wore both.
Hey! Woo!
Jeans and a skirt.
Love it. Now, I'd like to get your impressions and your take on one Mr. Joseph Simpson, because he's always around.
Yeah, he's a creepy presence. And he has like a couple different modes. I noticed, like, motivational preachery.
Yes.
But very empty, like hyping up. Then there's brat. He becomes a brat. He's like, fine, you won't listen to me, I'll leave. And she's like, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm on my period. It's like, oh, why are you telling your dad you're on your period? And then there's where he's just had enough of her. Like, she shows up late to one of the rehearsals. She's like,
shock.
UPS didn't work. And it's like, you're coming to the studio. Like, why do you not know where things are? So yeah, he has like all these different like hats that he wears, kind of.
He does.
And he's just sort of this creepy presence.
He's pushing and pushing because he's, I guess, her manager. And he did it. I mean, you can't imagine what he must have been like with Jessica. And it's just pushing these girls to work for money, for fame. Like, you've got to be famous, you've got to be wealthy, you've got to do all of this. And he's in everything. And then you see the mother, not too many interactions between the father and the mother, but it just, from every time I see Joe Simpson, it just reminds me of when he popped up bizarrely in Vanderpump Rules, early seasons, and he's doing a photo shoot with Tom Sandoval. And as Tom Sandoval is when Tom Sandoval decided to have like gray extensions put in his hair, and he's doing a photo shoot, and Joe Simpson is the photographer of
He had a photography phase. Oh, God.
He was the photographer of all these topless young men in his studio. And he's calling out to Sandoval as he's doing his poses, stomachs in, dicks out.
Oh!
I kid you not. Go back and watch it, guys. It was post Kristen, just in with Ariana, and he's screaming at Tom Sandoval, stomach in, dicks out. He is unnerving, to say the least.
Unnerving. But that was also part of the era, was the creepy parents.
Yes, it was.
Creepy parents were part of that era. Yes. Like, think about, who was it? The Lohans.
Oh, Michael.
It was part of the time. Like, and
you're right.
And it was weird then, and it's weirder now. Didn't he show up on Housewives?
Oh, Real Housewives of Atlanta, when Kim Zolciak was having a fight with NeNe, and she's like, oh, hi, Michael.
She's like, go in, Lindsay Lohan's daddy. Like, what are you doing here? On TV. Like, that was the era, too, of right in front of our faces, these parents were forcing their dreams on their children.
You're so right. I never thought about that. And the parents were sometimes as equally as famous as the kids.
Or infants.
Yeah. But just being around them. So you knew the names of mm-hmm. the parents of these stars that you were following. It was such an odd time, and it was so shameless, reckless, yeah. and beautiful to watch, if I may say so. I mean, that Lindsay Lohan's mother.
Yeah. But remember, it was when Beyonce's mom was dressing Destiny's Child.
Oh.
And she had her own line. And Beyonce like shouts out the line in one of their Darion.
Darion, House of Darion.
Wasn't that her mom's line, or was it?
That was theirs, who was also, would like to say, managed, who worked with Hella Holler Thompson. Heather Thompson worked with House of Darion, as well as Diddy, which...
Who?
Say it. Reveal.
Okay, so today's date is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Diddy's house was raided 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. We're preparing for this. I am watching the finale before getting on the show. And who shows up for a vote or die photo shoot with Ashley Simpson but P. Diddy?
Ooh.
And it was just this full circle moment.
Full circle.
Weirdness.
So eerie. I mean, that guy, and that this is another podcast, but that let's just say that guy has so many skeletons. The stuff that's going to come out in the next couple of months about him, it's going to be darker than dark.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He's either going to do a Russell Simmons and just go to Thailand and live there now, or he's go, because Russell Simmons is another one that we could talk about.
He just got served.
Oh, he did? Russell Simmons did?
He did get served. It might have been for defamation. I'm not sure. But they found him at his spa, hotel, whatever he owns in Bali.
Oh, it's Bali he is. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I think. Look it up, because the server, the person who's like got all kinds of security and like bided his time and caught him off guard and served him.
Oh,
yeah.
That guy's been running for a while. He has been running, and Diddy's going to do the same. He's going to go off somewhere, or
I don't know. He might have missed his chance.
He could have missed his chance. You're right. Or something else is going to happen to him, because he holds secrets with a lot of people, and he has a lot of stuff that he needs to cover. But that's besides the point. We're on something lighter. We're on Ashley Simpson. Stomachs in, dicks out. So yeah, you see, she's doing all of this. She's ignoring this, you know, 10-piece orchestra. And then she's getting ready for a show. And, you know, she's super nervous. She's so nervous. And Knitting Factory, she's getting everything, and she's doing her rehearsals. We have the throat issues as well. Oh. She's got her reflux, don't forget.
With some very graphic photos.
Ugh, I know.
Vocal cords and like.
I know, that was a lot.
Like, why do we need to see this? But okay.
Yeah, that was a lot.
You know what? She's bearing it all. She's bearing it all.
She's so brave.
I'll see my vocal brave. I'll put it out there.
Mm.
So brave.
And then we have this bizarre scene where she's getting ready. And of course, Joe Simpson's like, I'll get on stage and introduce her. I'll be in front of the camera. Don't worry. Oh, shut up. And of course, we see Jessica comes to support her. But Jessica Simpson has just had like LASIK. So she turns up in these like goggles that she can't really see out of.
So iconic.
It was great. So she's standing up there. And then Joe's taking center stage, of course. He's asking some guys to come on. No, he isn't. to come on stage to do like a wet t-shirt competition before Ashley comes out.
He's begging Ashley to start the show with that. That's fine. It's my night.
And, you know, it's, of course, a raging success. Raging success. She kills it. And she says, you know, I go on stage and it just all comes to me. My nerves go. And it was just everything. It was amazing. I performed all my songs. Everyone loved it. Everyone reacted really well. And, you know, we just end the season on such a high, Priscilla. Yeah. It was just outstanding.
But also, her parents told her that she would only be performing for about 15 of her friends so that she wouldn't get too nervous. So again, this person, but think about the nerve, like, how is this anyone's reality? She has the record deal. Then she gets the record. Then her first performance ever in her mind is for her friends.
Yes, absolutely. 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 It's a world we can't imagine. It's a world we cannot begin to imagine. There was something really like 19. So that means she would have just finished secondary school, just finished high school, like the year before. I wonder what her life was. I bet she was probably just homeschooled or like tutor or something, right? She didn't go to a high school.
I feel like the family was so invested in Jessica for a while. Yeah, maybe she was along for the ride and tutored.
I can't imagine she went to a school. Yeah.
I loved all of Jessica. Jessica brought a lightness to, like, she came in and out, which they probably
did.
Remember the photo shoot or the commercial they did for Wild Wings?
So bad.
Had to wear Ashley. A flannel shirt and had barely any glam, while Jessica looks like she's straight off of her Candy's shoes photo shoot.
Yes.
Like, they could not have made Ashley any plainer. And in that moment, we really do. I mean, look, there is probably some trauma to being the sister of such a star. She probably really was not prioritized.
Absolutely.
Like, and they just put it out there so perfectly by making her look so plain next to this bombshell.
You know, you've even got to kind of respect wardrobe for that, because you just go, you know what? You know what all of you think that is happening between Jessica? Yeah, exactly. We think it too. And we're going to show it to all of you.
Yeah.
She wasn't even given a hairbrush. So I get out there. And then Jessica's in glam for like 2.5 hours looking like you know, it is a shame because I think they're both such gorgeous girls.
They really are. And they showed in a scene where Ashley's, I think, talking about that photo shoot, she's in full glam. Yeah. And it's just like, they're both stunning.
Oh, they are.
But they made her play that.
So bad.
What was that paycheck? I mean,
I know. So bad. But, you know, it made me, obviously, I do miss Ashley's nose. She had a great, I love big noses. Like, I have a massive thing about big noses. I love them. I think they're so distinguished and just gorgeous. And you look at her in this and she's got such a great nose. It's gorgeous. She went and got it all fixed.
I was thinking that too. I was like, what a shame, because she is, I mean, she's gorgeous now. It was what she did was very well done.
Yeah.
She didn't totally redo.
Yes.
But I really do think she did need it. She's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. So we got to get into season two, guys, because there was a season two. It was renewed. Thank God it was renewed. The networks knew what they were doing. And I love how it opens up. Oh, by the way, we did not mention in the very, very first, very, very first episode of the first season, she did this intro where she's like, I don't know what's next. She gives this whole speech. That was so good.
Meanwhile, she knows exactly what's next.
So we open up season two and she says, I'm still dorky. That was what it was. We're opening up with another moving day. So season one was moving. This is moving again. She's getting out of Park La Brea apartments and she's bought a house. Because, you know, she's massive right now. We've seen her meeting fans, doing meet and greets and all of this. And she's huge. So she's going into her own place. But luckily she does have her, her boyfriend, Ryan Cabrera. They did break up. So we found out they broke up, but they're back together again. Thank God. And she's going through the house and she's like, ew, everything's like so dirty. She's like, do I have to clean this or will someone clean this? Like, of course. She's just so quirky and kooky. She doesn't know. She's just Ashley.
Well, it's a callback to episode 2 or something of season 1 where her mom is literally teaching her how to mop.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, don't worry, Ashley. No one expects you to clean this.
Yeah. Ashley doesn't have time. She has a lot of places to be late to. She's
a platinum singer now. She's a
platinum singer. She sold a million records or something like that, we found out. So season 2, we're going in with a bang. She's on a high. She's still a dirty tomboy, but you know, she's prepping for tour. So we've got a prepping for tour. We've got SNL that she's getting ready for. So, you know, she's like, this is going to be so huge for me. I have SNL coming up.
She's not wrong. It was huge for her.
You're right. Some could say like what she was most known for. I mean, really her, this SNL performance. So she goes into one of the greatest things. She's in New York with these two friends again, you look at them and it's like, you know, they say, if you stare into the abyss stares back at you. That's what it was like looking into the eyes.
These are kids that just weren't rich enough to be cast on The Hills, but not poor enough to get jobs of their own.
Exactly. And they're just like, it's just that tone of voice answering everything. And then it's so wild to watch them, but they're along for the ride for Ashley going to SNL. So she's in New York. Of course they will. By the way, sign my ass up. I want to be one of those friends in a heartbeat.
I mean, we deserve it.
Listen, I have friends here, one especially who's an actor who's doing very, very well. And I said to him, listen, if you don't think I'm riding your coattails to the bitter end, but you're wrong, because I will. I will be going to the gifting suites. I will be on set with you because I want to take advantage of everything that you've worked so hard to attain. I make it very clear.
Yeah, I think it's important to be honest in friendships.
Yeah. I agree.
And
I agree.
To receive gifts.
Yes. Lots. Lots of gifts.
Yeah, he's not going to want everything that's in those gift bags.
Hello. I know. Seriously. So I just push him out of the way. I take it all for myself. So, you know, she's doing well. She had a kind of rehearsal. She's like prepping for SNL. It's all going really, really well. But then she wakes up, Priscilla, the morning of SNL. And I love that she's like, so she had rehearsed, she had sound check at 5, and she wakes up and I didn't understand the scene. The two girls are in the bed, they're in this big bed, and she gets her phone, the alarm, she's like, what time is it? And they're like, 8:15. And they're like, no, 11:15, because the time, like they were, that was great.
She's waking up. Time.
They're waking up at 11:15 when she is so late, not a thought in the world, not a panic. She has to do her sound check at 5 for one of the biggest shows you can be on in America. She's like, let's order food. So they order all this room service and we have a 5-minute scene of these three dum-dums sat on the floor talking about pancakes and butter and crispy bacon. And then she goes, my throat's really raspy. Maybe you should stop speaking at this point. Maybe you should call a doctor. Start doing something with your voice. Call your vocal coach. Nah. Just wandering around the hotel.
We had the scare in season 1, which was,
we did have a scare.
It was more of a slow burn of drama. I mean, the Valentine's Day was, you know, a mistake. But she had some stuff going on with her vocal cords.
Yeah.
Yep. To your point, maybe not be having crispy bacon crashing up your throat. Yep. Maybe have a tea.
Maybe. Maybe call these 15 people that are on your payroll to help you and get some advice. But she's just like, and the other girl's like, So she starts getting ready and she goes, it's just so raspy. And all she's doing is talking. And I'm like, stop talking.
Well, she knows she can just not sing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Again, no stakes for this person.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And so she goes in for sound check and it's not good. It is not good. She says she's singing and she's so raspy, like her voice, it's all acid, her acid reflux. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, choking out in the song, like it's not going well in rehearsal, and she's panicking. She says everyone's panicking. So what they decide to do is, you know, we just do the backing track. That's what we'll do for it. That's fine, but the show must go on.
Every entertainer knows this.
Everyone knows, exactly.
Ain't nothing if not a true entertainer.
Hear, hear, absolutely.
Having a hard time.
So we see then a little infamous clip of what happened, guys. We all know when we were, we all remember where we were when this happened, you know. It was
our generation's JFK.
I was just gonna say that. I was gonna make a worse reference, but yes, JFK, yes, exactly. So
Pearl Harbor.
It was really a tough time. It was a tough
time. We came together, though.
It was about unity in the end. It was about the unity of thin scarves.
It's about the music.
It's the music, guys. Oh. So what happened is that obviously she's doing the backing track, but what it did is it replayed, some dickhead replayed a song that she just played. So it was Pieces of Me, I think, or something that came on again. And so she freezes, which was so shocking because she's such a consummate professional. It was so shocking.
Rolls in late to every meeting and
talks about her outfit for the night.
Doesn't take care of her voice.
She says she just freezes. She's like, hang on, that song just played. And so the backing track is playing. She's at the mic, doesn't know what to do. So she does a little jig and then she's out of there. And we see the reactions of some of the staff and everyone's shocked. And she goes, and I didn't. And then we get our confessional. And she's like, I just froze. I didn't know what to do. And the next day, I had no idea how much it would blow up. She's like, every news channel. So let me think about this, Ashley. I would beg to differ that the BBC was prioritizing what happened with Ashley Simpson on SNL the night before. I mean, I may be wrong.
You
don't know if Al Jazeera and BBC were really focusing on you that day, but they could have been. I don't know.
We don't know. But let's give her a break, because as we know, this was probably her fourth live performance in It's only a few months before she had her first.
True.
That's the thing. Like, yeah,
that's very true.
That is,
you know, let's give her some space, please. Let's give her some space here. It's a lot. You're right. I didn't think about that. So she says, it was just hugely stressful for her. So, you know, she's just getting hounded with phone calls and all of this stuff. And then she's at some other performance. I don't know. That Joe Simpson is just like, there was, I think it was Sonia Morgan said it. And I love this phrase that she was talking. Sonia Morgan was like, said this about Luann one time. And it's like Joe Simpson is just carrying her along like an emptied out suitcase all the time. It's like from here to there to another place to perform. Ashley has no clue what she's doing. The mother's telling her what song she's about to perform. The father's saying, we're going here. This is what you say. And she had to do this thing with TRL where she called in and it's like, I'm so sorry. It was acid reflux. That's why I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry. And then they come up with this idea, Joe Simpson's brilliant idea about her next live performance, how she should like do a fake out to like make fun of it all. And then, I forgot to mention talking about cringing. Before the infamous performance, she's at the hotel room and she gets a delivery to her room, and it's a couple of roses. It's from her lover, Ryan Cabrera. Mm. And the note says, I had to write this down. The note says, let me find it. It says, kiss ass, biatch. And the three friends go, oh, it's so cute. Oh, my God. It's so cute. It's so cute. Oh. And then she calls him on a Motorola flip phone. Actually, I think it was a Sidekick at this point. She calls him on the Sidekick and says, I love you, baby. Thank you so much. I have kick-ass biatch. I mean, woof, the romance.
Meanwhile, he's writing that like with gritted teeth because he wants to be on SNL so
much. He hates her. I mean, let's be real. He hates her in these episodes. And he's just like, listen, I'm sticking in this because I've got my face in front of a TV crew. I'll be able to get some shit featured. And then after this, I'll go straight onto Adriana from The Hills. So I've just got to bide my time at the moment, but he fucking hates Ashley.
Is that the vibe?
He is looking at her like, you goddamn bitch. I play 5 instruments. I write my own songs. I've been schlepping my gear to the knitting factory for like 5 years. And you come up here and you're on SNL and you fuck it up. I mean.
But that's the thing. It's almost where like the whole system that was in place for her failed her because like there are so many resources and like no one taught her how to be a professional. They just here, now you do it. You know what I mean? Like
it's shocking. And all you have, and you know, one of those advisors is Joe Simpson. So you're just like
Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like
it's a lot. So you know, she perseveres after the scandal, after the fallout. Mm-hmm. As we've all had to do, you know. And then we get her 20th birthday. She's only 20. She's such a kid. She's only 20.
Don't be on that. We're thinking about it. Like, what is it?
No.
What year is it? Well, I guess
because I did some research afterwards because it is interesting how all of this ends. So it's her 20th birthday and she decides to be rebellious and cut her hair. And she's like, I'm so scared about what my daddy will say.
Ooh. Did she say daddy?
Yeah, what daddy will say. Ooh. So we kind of see, my notes kind of drop off here. I did watch the rest of it, but shock.
I took in a lot of the Ashley Simpson show.
So we see her 20th birthday party and she's excited. They go to medieval times with those friends still hanging around.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think what else happens in the season because she keeps doing performances. I was very sad to see that on the show, we didn't see the performance, which I've watched multiple times on YouTube, of her performing live at a Kmart. When she released her line of clothing at Kmart, and it's a tough watch. It's just an acoustic performance. It's a tough watch, but I'm sad that wasn't featured on the show.
Well, you know what I'm doing as soon as we stop recording.
It really is something, and they do like a fade in, like across the racks of her clothes.
Stop. Again. Sign of the times. What else was going on at that time? In season one, we get a call that a Walmart is going insane for Jessica. Around this time, the Kardashians are taking over Sears.
Yeah, it's okay? It was such...
and starting their own credit card, which ruins people's lives. Let's not.
Yes, I remember. Oh God, that's so.
This was the time where department stores and pop girlies were just. Like
what a time to be alive, you know, and we all wanted it. I know goddamn well I was watching it being like, God, I'd love to perform at a Kmart. I mean, really, I wanted it all. I wanted it all. And look at me now, Priscilla. Look at me now. Living the Hollywood dream.
And you know what's out of business?
Mm. All of them.
Sears.
They are like, I haven't been in a mall in, I couldn't tell you how long. I'm surprised they still exist. But when there is a need to go into one, like there's a movie theater here where I live that's in a mall, I walk in and it's as though I'm exploring a land that time forgot.
Yeah.
There's a Claire's Accessories where people are still getting their ears pierced. There is a Macy's where everything is constantly like 99% off.
Do you remember about 2 years ago when it was revealed that like a 90s Burger King was discovered in a mall?
Nope.
That was my local mall. And that was the Burger King that I had my lunch breaks at.
Wow.
On my breaks from working at Contempo Casuals.
What? Well, Contempo Casuals sounds outstanding.
Well, yeah. Well, now then it became Wet Seal. I don't know.
If I mean, talking about full circle, early 2000s, Wet Seal.
Wet Seal, Rave, 579, all of those stores.
Totally.
So I went. I tried to do some boots on the ground. Because I was like, well, they found it. I guess they just sealed off that Burger King and... They just sealed it off and didn't use it again. So I was like, is this open to the public? Which it was not. But going to that mall was, yes, it was like going to a dig site.
It is. And you do see the odd, like, archaeologist in the corner, like, just digging away at something.
Taking notes and, yeah, measurements. Yeah, no, it's like a wasteland.
It's a bizarre. But you know what? There's always people in them. Still, when I went into the movie theater, it was like, there were people in them. I'm like,
yeah. What are you guys doing?
What are you doing here? And what are these places? And there's like this music in the background and you feel like something bad is just around the corner. That's how I always feel when I'm in a mall.
Something tragic is afoot.
It is.
And like those fountains that are dry and not turned on now.
Oh, I can't. Like, I'm honestly, I'm feeling really depressed right now. Let's get back to Ashley. It depresses me so much. So, I mean, the end of the season, I'm trying to think, as I say, notes have ended. But the kind of rest of it was what? Just more of her performances, right? She was in Florida performing. What did we get a conclusion to her and Ryan Cabrera on this season?
I think they're still... Well, as we know, she married Diana Ross's son. She married
She did, because should talk about what happened, because I didn't, the last episode with Dudu, it ends. There weren't any other seasons after this. It was only two seasons she did, right? There was no like special or anything. And so it ended, as did her career ? I mean, I don't think it was as though she kept trying and everything just got cut off overnight, I feel, with Ashley Simpson. That's that album with Pieces of Me and Ello, 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 and the one, remember the song that she wrote, it was to get back at he's not my boyfriend, or I'm not your girlfriend, or whatever it was, to get back at Lindsay Lohan, because they were both dating. Oh, I think it was Wilder, Vilmar, whatever his name is, that guy that slept with all of them.
All the girlies.
All the girlies.
There was that guy. Then there were the Jonas Brothers. There was also Aaron Carter was with everybody.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
I have a story about Aaron Carter, by the way. I went back to his and Nick's house one time after a... Yeah, I'll tell you that off the air. That's a story. That's one of my L.A. night
stories. I don't
want
to get sued.
I have to be very careful. You're right. There was, it just all kind of, I just think everything with her kind of like ended, but that album was brilliant. There were all these love triangles, Demi Lovato and like, you know, obviously we've got Lindsay that, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, I will Google, and go and do it now, guys, if you're listening, it's brilliant. When one of the times Lindsay went to rehab, she was talking about like a sexual addiction or something like that. She had to make a list of all of her sexual partners, and it was leaked.
Yes. Oh, I remember this. I'm not going to say who I'm wondering.
Was a lot of people on that. All of who you would love to have slept with. It was like Colin Farrell in his beanie days. Yeah. It was everyone you could think of. Orlando Bloom was on there. There was like all these people. I mean, she, God bless her, she did well. If I had had the opportunity, I would have slept with all of them as well. I mean,
I will say both Lindsay and Ashley are now thriving.
Thriving. I mean, Ashley then, it was weird. Her career went boop. And she then, of course, she was with Pete Wentz from Fallout Boy,
right,
and had a baby. She was very young. I remember she was only like 24 or something.
Really?
I consider that really young to have a baby. Yeah, she had, and then she got pregnant by him. They weren't together long. She got pregnant, had that child that's probably now in like university or something. I swear, that makes me feel so old. They were together for a while, and you're right. And then she kind of had that. She was still having a dark hair image and all of that. And now you're right. She's married to Evan Ross. They have two children. And the last time I saw her that she popped up, this was maybe over a year ago, I don't want to say I'm a fan of his, because he seems like a very unpleasant person in person. But Jeff Lewis, I love flipping out. Oh. Loved flipping out. Mm-hmm. And he had this, I thought, you know, I missed flipping out. It was brilliant. Sometimes I'll go and do a rewatch.
That was
love, good. Loved doing a rewatch. And he has this new show now. I think it's on like Freevee. I don't know what it is, or Amazon or something. And he's doing the same thing, but it's all celebrity clients. And it doesn't have what Flipping Out does by any means. But I tuned in and I watched it. And because apparently I can't get enough of shit TV. That's all. It's a lot of TV watching. Oh. And he was doing Ashley Simpson's Home.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So you go in and oh, wow. Yeah. She was like very, very like shy with the camera. And she's kind of, you know, just like, yeah, okay, like maybe we could do this. And and she's wearing like an oversized blazer, super stylized. And that Evan Ross looks like a little petite man. And he's overly stylized as well. Like a, you know.
What is his career?
So they've released like albums together.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a singer, producer, you know the rest.
Well, they're both second children as a career.
Exactly, exactly. It's,
I don't know how many Rosses there are, but...
No, there's a lot, like, I think.
The younger sibling to icons, because Ellen Tracy Ross is super icon. I mean, of Diana course. Ross is obviously...
Obvious. I got...
Not the same level as Joe Simpson, obviously.
Nobody is.
Yeah.
But it was weird to watch her because, yeah, she's kind of very shy in the camera. It was like, almost as though she was kind of hiding her head, like when the camera was, it was weird. And she's going around and Jeff is like, you know, so personable, making jokes. And she was like shutting it down, just having none of it. It's so weird. I mean, obviously, I don't expect her to be the same as she was at 19 as she is at like approaching 40. But
look at me. I can stand on one foot.
Oh, I would have loved it. I was hoping it was going to pop out. I was hoping something like that. She'd do a cartwheel. Woo-hoo! I haven't showered today, but no. But she's, yeah, it was very subdued on camera, very like shy. It's a strange watch. And Jeff is like trying to make fun a little bit about how much money both of them have. And he's like, oh, I mean, come on. It's not like you guys can't afford it or something. And they have no sense. Well, she seemed like she had zero sense of humor. And she's just like, mm-hmm. It's odd. It's really odd to watch her. So
maybe
I think
they're aware of how Jeff Lewis can make a headline happen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and they're not, maybe we're interested in some exposure, but very careful.
Yeah. I think they live very private lives, but I say that, but then they have been trying to do a comeback, that not even a comeback, because they've been trying to make their music happen. Like Ashley, I think apparently still records and he records and they've done stuff together. They did a like duet tour. I don't know where they were. Morongo Casino. I don't know where they were, but I think music is still their thing, her thing. Mm-hmm. But there is so much that I think about her. Like this show, we're chatting about it how many years later, yeah. How iconic it is, and that SNL performance, and Jessica Simpson, and all the shit that happened with the father, everything that came out with him, and the mother divorcing, and everyone constantly questioning his sexuality, and asking those two about his sexuality. And I just think about what she must, if she's happy with her career, or how much, if she regrets doing this TV show, because she seems as though she was pushed into everything. But she was so young, she didn't even have the chance to really decide this is definitely what I don't want to do or this is definitely what I do want to do. It just all kind of happened to her.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was any autonomy of anything that she wanted to do with her life, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because, again, like to watch it 20 years later and like that snafu on SNL feels so small compared to the... Yeah. Just insane things that happen now and are on TV and like,
yeah.
So, and, but it was so big.
It was,
you know, like,
I remember,
again,
I know.
Pure. I mean, some of these scandals that were scandals then versus what is a scandal now? Like, Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you lip synced. Like, I feel like, you know, maybe the punishment didn't fit the crime or, if that moment had been handled better,
yeah,
like, is there even I don't know, PR crisis people then? Like,
yeah, who knows?
It could have been a very fun moment. I don't know. I would love
to. I do
think next year, let's do a rewatch with her.
Oh, dream. I do genuinely think that that did ruin her career. It really did.
Unfairly so, because we've kind of put her through the ringer today, but like she her album is good. Like,
it is good.
It's good.
But I think she never came back from that. Yeah. And then I think she kept trying to come back. Then she got pregnant very young. And so all of that period of time where she maybe could have changed everything up and started a career again was lost. And now she's at like in her 30s and she's, you know, married and she's got kids. She seems very happy with all of that domesticity. But I think that there must be a level of, what could have been? Yeah, I really think so. She got, you know, pregnant so young and then lived that life and then wasn't in the spotlight. And then Pete Wentz, I guess, was doing really, really well. So she was in the shadow again of someone more famous than her.
And then her sister's brand.
Oh my God, that brand.
Just thinking about the brand and how that was such a behemoth. At a time, like, think about that timing was probably the end of her career trajectory and the beginning of this billion-dollar behemoth. I'm wondering if the cycle of the second child shadow thing just started over.
Yeah, I wonder. Well, you know, when she comes on the podcast, we'll ask her. We'll get into the
Are we psychiatrists?
Pretty much. Can you imagine if that poor woman came on? But that's another thing as well. It's like, I really want you to watch the Jeff Lewis episode. Yeah, it's odd. She is so
reserved.
She gives nothing. Yeah, she's so reserved. She gives nothing. She barely speaks to him. And she does like a little bit of a laugh. I don't know. It's odd to watch. But I mean, is there anything else you want to say about the show or anything else you want to say about Ashley? I feel like we covered a lot, but...
Again, as much as we made fun of it, it's just a fun romp. Jumping into a time capsule of just like flip phones and again, no stakes and messy, like just way before a reality show. Again, I think this was probably a very controlled environment. Mm-hmm. Because of Joe and who he is, but like it's just so different than these like OGs that know the game and know what they're really doing and craft their own storyline kind of things.
Yeah,
so it's
very
just
much so fun. Very much so.
Yeah,
it's like you said, I think romp is the perfect word for it. And it's innocent. It's you go back and it reminds you of your own time, where where you were in life at that time. And everything looks, LA looked like the most, and it is one of the most exciting places, but it just looked so cool. Like these girls didn't have to work. They were just doing everything they wanted to do creatively and being successful. And it was just like, oh, I want to do it all. For me, I remember watching it and just, not aspiring to be Ashley Simpson, but aspiring of just that, I want to be in LA. I want to be going for lunches and like just running around
ease.
Sunset Boulevard. You know,
ease of life.
Yeah, that ease. And then you move to LA.
Yeah.
And it all comes true, kids. All your dreams come true.
Exactly like the show.
Woo! All right. Well, I am going to let you go. I feel like I have so much to talk to you about though. Like I have just so many things.
Have me back.
Please. I would love it. I want to go. There's so much. Well, I want to say two words to you. And I think I put this in the original email to you. And I want to see if you remember, because I think you would be perfect on this show. Gallery Girls?
I never watched. I never watched, but I've heard such good things.
But I am telling you, you have a very busy life, but if you have the chance to be on your own to watch, this is going to send you, I cannot explain how up your alley this is. This is perfect. They are all walking around New York like, oh, I'm so struggling. And we only wear red lipstick, black hair. This is
I think I purposely didn't watch it because I was living in New York and not having a glamorous life.
Got it.
Maybe now that I've had some space and time
please. I will watch Calgary Girls.
If you watch Victoria Beckham Coming to America.
All right, deal. So it's Coming to America. I don't even know it. Yeah, I will. And
yeah, it's when she's getting their life set up for them to move to LA. And I am telling you, underrated TV gold. She brings glam to the DMV. Okay.
Wow. It's
some iconic moments. The paparazzi are hounding them.
Yeah.
And this is, it's a, I think, very produced, but like, they take a sex doll and put a wig on it and put it in an SUV to like,
this rings a bell.
Paparazzi. And she's like, do I look like a sex doll?
This rings a bell. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I these scenes you're talking about, I know I've seen them pop up like on all the pop cultures.
The goof factor is incredible.
Okay. All right. That's the deal then. You do Gallery Girls. You will not be disappointed. And I'll do the Victoria Beckham one. Before you go, where can people find you on Instagram?
People can find me on Instagram at itspkav, ITSPAKV. And on TikTok, I'm very small over there.
Isn't that ending anyway?
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. We tried. I tried with TikTok. I tried to put I am sticking to Instagram because I don't know why. I can't get into it and I get annoyed by it.
It's definitely its own beast. But yeah, that's where I hang out. Have a lot of fun on both platforms. And yeah, I ain't too proud to beg. Please follow me.
Please do. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. All right. So I think that's it, everyone. Obviously, you can follow us at Tender Loving Care Podcast on Instagram. I'm going to be back with the show tomorrow featuring, we're going to be covering The Valley, which I was pleasantly surprised. Have you been watching The Valley?
I have not yet, but I've heard good things. My plate is full. We're just like five franchises of Housewives on. So now that has sort of paused.
Yes, that's paused.
Summer House, I'm watching backwards. And The Valley, I want to watch.
The Valley's good. And, you know, The Valley is good purely because I didn't want to watch it. I was like, I'm not watching this. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But when the second you see Kristen and Jax on screen, it all makes sense. It just, everything is revived again. Like you are sent back to the back alley of Sir, smoking a cig, screaming at each other. You know, Jack's going to jail. All of these thoughts just come rushing back in your head. It's so beautiful. So yeah, check that out. We've got that episode coming out Friday. Then we have our Patreon in which we are covering Quiet on Set, which is so dark. I don't know if I can even make it through, guys, but I'm trying to watch it and cover it for you. And that's it. So have a wonderful rest of your day and week. And once again, Priscilla, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.